This is my Bible.
This is the true word of God.
The word of God is true.
I believe what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I believe God has given us this word.
I believe he has given us this book.
So I can live a victorious Christian life.
Not just when I die,
but right now.
In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
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 Are we living a victorious Christian life? Right now, right?
The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen. But today I want to talk to you about this instant gratification.
Instant gratification we have in this society, right?
One thing we have is instant messaging, right?
Real fast, right?
Instant messaging. We want everything fast. Microwave, right? You put it in the microwave, it comes out fast.
That's what I like, the microwave. I don't like the air fryer. Microwave.
I want it fast, right? And then we order stuff online.
We want it the next day.
Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Amazon, right?
You want it the next day.
And then on top of that, we have fast food, right?
We want to go in the fast food line because it's convenient, right?
It's supposed to be quick, but sometimes you're in the fast food line for a long time, right? You go to McDonald's, amen? So we want things instantly. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So we don't want to wait. This society today, we don't want to wait on anything, right?
Even in the spiritual realm, right?
Even in the spiritual realm, we pray and we wait, right?
We fast and we wait.
We cry and we wait. Sometimes we even kneel down and cry out to God, Lord, when is my breakthrough coming through? When am I going to receive, Father God, what I just prayed for?
You know, you prayed and you said out of your mouth, right?
And you say and you believe, but where's my blessing at?
And so, to tell the truth, sometimes waiting can be painful.
Am I right?
Sometimes it can be painful.
When we think about it through the human perspective, right?
Through the human perspective.
Amen?
But I want to submit to you today.
I want to submit to you today, brothers and sisters, right?
Today that God's delay is not his absence.
Y'all want me to say that again?
God's delay is not his absence.
We have some people in here today, they're waiting for a breakthrough,
waiting for something to happen in their lives. They might need healing, right?
Their marriage is a little topsy-turvy and turmoil, right?
They're praying for their spouse, right?
Marriages, okay?
So just because it seems silent, notice I said seems silent,
amen?
It does not mean that God is inactive, right?
Because sometimes we tell ourselves, man, God is not doing anything in my situation, in my circumstances.
He's not doing anything, right?
That's what we believe because we're thinking about it in a human perspective, right?
Amen?
And so I want to propose to you a scripture that you can hold on to, right?
A scripture that you can hold on to.
Romans 8, 28.
Could y'all go there for me, please?
8, 28.
I'm just trying to help us, right? Trying to help us.
Romans 8, 28. Say amen when you get there. Okay, I ain't there yet. Hold on. Sure. Romans 8:28. Okay. So this scripture, a lot of people you talk to, they might quote it to you when you're going through things, when you're going through turmoil and situations, right? It says that, and we know that all things work together for the good, okay? And so when I look at the scripture, I got to isolate words, right? Because, I mean, you could quote this scripture several times, but you have to look at the wording. You got to look at the season you're in, right? And we know that all things work together for the good. Okay, so I want to tell you that when he says all things, it's not like all good things, right? It's not all good things. It could be some bad things. But they all are going to work together. God is going to work them together for the good. That's what he says, for the good. I'm going to work those things over to be successful and prosperous for you. That's what he says he's going to do. It's not just all good things. It doesn't say, I'm going to give you all good things, right? But he says, whatever you're going through right now, your circumstance, your situation, he's saying he's going to work it out for you. This scripture gives you confidence and reassurance that God is working in the background, that he's not inactive, that God is not silent. If anything, God wants you to continue to talk to him, to have an intimate connection with him, right? Amen? That's what he wants. And then this second part, I got to put it in a bracket right here. It says, to those who love God. I got that scripture in my house on the mirror. So every time you read it, you're like, to those who love God. Now I got to ask myself, do I love God with all my heart and my soul and my strength and my mind? Do I love him? Do I spend time with him? Every time I read that scripture, I got to think about it. I got to examine myself, right? To those who love God. Now, if you ask anybody, you know, at your job or HEB or Walmart, they're going to tell you, oh, yeah, I love God. And I'm not questioning anybody's love for God, but what I am saying is if you love God, you will be reflecting the character of God. Right? You will be reflecting the character of God. The fruit of the Spirit, joy, right? Peace. There's some people that they just don't have peace in their life, right? Every time you talk to them, it's always something, right? Family member, this and that. So they want you to get on the phone and start gossiping, and right? So if you say you love God, where's the fruit? Jesus said, I know them by the fruit that they bear, okay? So when you read that scripture, be careful, you know, like all believers as well, be careful that those who love God and those who are chosen according to his purpose, amen? So this scripture helps us know that things are going to work out for my good. I don't care how tragic it is. I don't care, you know, how big the circumstances or the situation. These things are going to work out for my good, right? Do we got that? Okay. So we know in any situation that I'm a believer, that things are going to work out for the good. Okay. Okay, that scripture wasn't enough for you. Okay. Let's imagine this. Okay. We got more people over here that are I'm going to say that they are new farmers, right? You're a farmer. Today, you're a farmer. And these on this side, they're old farmers, right? So we're talking about God seeming like he's inactive, right? So these new people, after they plant the seed, they're staring out the window to see if anything happened, right? These people over here, experienced farmers, they're watching Netflix or whatever. They know, you know, that they know the seed is going to grow, right? They know the seed is going to grow, right? So what's going on beneath the ground? What is going on beneath the ground? The roots are stretching, right? Do you see anything? Do you see the roots stretching? Life is forming, right? You don't see any of this, right? Growth is occurring. Growth is occurring, right? But these people over here, these new farmers, they're frustrated. They're upset. Because no leaves, no anything are blooming by the second day. They planted it on the first, they want to see something on the second. Instant gratification, right? But God is doing things in us that we don't know. See, God sees the complete picture. You know, like a picture? He sees the complete picture. The only thing we see is the frame around here. And all we see is the frame. But he sees the complete picture. And he's going to complete that work in you. He says that in the scripture. If you continue to draw nearer to him and him nearer to you, he's going to complete that process. Now, that process with the plant, the farmer, is called germination. All right, do your study on that after you leave. Germination. All right? So God is working things out in the background. You don't see it, right? You know, I think about the scripture, we walk by faith and not by sight. I think I said it earlier, right? But, you know, sometimes we say it, but we don't do it. I'm talking to myself as well, you know. So there's things going on in the spiritual realm that you can't see with these natural eyes, especially if you don't have spiritual eyes, right? There's things going on that's happening in your life for a reason. And before I continue on, let me give you the title to this message. Divine Delay. Why does God take his time? Anybody ask themselves that question? Why does God take his time, right? So things might seem quiet to the naked eye. But God is working in you, right? Grab hold of that scripture. The Bible says to keep it hidden in your heart, right? What does that word hidden mean? Stored. That you may not sin against me, right? Keep that hidden in your heart. When things start going all in turmoil, right? Your husband start acting up. Your wife start acting up, you know. You got to do something. Hey, you got to know that all things, this situation right here, you know, with my wife, all things work together to those who love the Lord, work together for the good, right? Amen? Okay. So let people know today you were farmers, all right? So just remember that little analogy as you leave out of here, that you were farmers, right? And things are going on underneath the ground, right, that you can't see. Things are going on in the spiritual world that you can't see, okay? Amen? Okay. Let's go to Habakkuk. Let's go to Habakkuk, right? So while you're you're turning to it. I'm just going to just give you a little background information, amen, where you're going to kind of step in Habakkuk's shoes, some clarity, right? And so unlike most of the Old Testament prophets, right, Habakkuk did not bring God's message to the people, right? He didn't bring the message to the people. But what he did do, the people's honest questions and the things that he had on his mind, he had private conversations with God, right? He had private conversations. You know, Moses spoke to the people. Joshua spoke to the people. But he had private conversations with God, right? He prophesied in Judah in a time of corruption, wickedness, right? And they were under control of the who? The Babylonians, right? Because he allowed it. Amen? And so let's go to the second chapter. And let's look at verse 2. And I'm just going to start off with this the scripture over here in 3, really. Okay. And then I'm going to run it backwards and catch you guys up on what's going on. He says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries," right? That word tarries means what? Delays, right? "Though it tarries, wait for it." He says, wait for it. This is what God said, right? "Wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not tarry," right? Habakkuk, right? He said, it will not tarry. So in Habakkuk, right, he's crying out to the Lord pretty much, why have you done this to us? Why have you given us unto the hand of the Babylonians, right? Why? He says in Scripture 1, in chapter 1, he says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry? And you will not hear even, you will not hear. Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save." Right? He's asking God all these questions. Why? "Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me." He said there is strife, right? Bitterness, bitter conflict. And then he said there's contention, you know, inside quarrels, right? So Habakkuk is crying out to God, why have you done this to me? Why have you done this to me? He continues to cry out. And so there's so many people asking the same thing right now. God, why have you done this to me? Why am I in this situation or this circumstance I'm in right now? Lord, why? Okay. But we have to know, we have to know that God's delay is not his denial, okay? God's delay is not his denial, right? His appointed time, the appointed season for things to happen, right? So God, you know, finally, he's asking all these questions. God finally reveals to him that he's using Babylon, the Babylonians, to execute judgment on Judah for all their wickedness, all their sins. That's what he's saying. So this is the time, you know, when God told him this, this is the time where he could have drew back and got mad, you know. This is the time where he could have said, well, I'm not listening to you anymore, God. Why do you send some wicked people to teach, you know, to put judgment on your own people. I thought we were supposed to be your people. Why? How could you use them to judge us? They're wicked, right? And so once he heard the answer, you know, he could have stepped back from that, you know. All right, I'm not with you anymore, God. I don't understand what's going on. I asked you why, and this is the reason that you gave me. This is what's happening. But he didn't do that, right? Let's go to chapter 2, first verse, right? He said, I will, are you there? Are you guys there? Amen. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. What is that scripture saying to you? He said he's going to be like a guard on a watchtower. No more bitterness. No more question. I'm attentive to you, Lord. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? That's what he's saying. He didn't get bitter. But he said, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to stay in alignment with God right now. And I'm going to be sober and I'm going to be vigilant. Right? Watchtower, a guard, just like in the military, right? You got duty, right? You got guard duty, right? You got to be, you know, vigilant, right? You got to be, you can't go to sleep. Don't let them catch you sleeping, right? Right? So you got to be ready. And so Habakkuk's saying right here, I'm ready. I'm on guard. I'm sober and I'm vigilant, right? And so we're caught up right now. Let's go to verse 3. It says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. So what does that tell you? Just because God is quiet right now, or you think he's quiet, right? And nothing's going on. You were farmers, right? But he said that the vision, God's vision, right? His divine revelation, right? Insight and direction to Habakkuk. He said, at the appointed time, you will be delivered. You will understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. But at the appointed time, right? So let's say you're asking God for things, you know, and it's got to be in the will of God, right? You're asking him for, right? And so nothing is happening. God, nothing is happening. I've been to the altar 10, 20 times. My grandma prayed for me, right? My daddy prayed for me, and there's nothing going on. But you got to understand, and Habakkuk understood later that the vision is at an appointed time, right? God's vision for them is at an appointed time. See, you got to understand that God doesn't work on our time. Like, God doesn't have a clock that's back there that's ticking, right? Ticking down. He doesn't have that, you know. He doesn't have a calendar, right? He doesn't identify with seconds, minutes, hours, right? We do that ourselves, right? Right? I'll give you an example. When you come up here to speak, you got an hour, right? So we set that time. But the Holy Spirit can be talking to that holy vessel, and he could be up here preaching till midnight. Amen? Ain't no amen on that, huh? Pastor didn't say amen either. But my point is that we make time crunches. And some of us struggle with time. I'm going to say I struggle with time, you know, sometimes. And then some weeks, I got to go to work. I got to be at work at 4:30, right? 0430. So just 4:30 in the morning. Is that pretty early? And on top of that, I got to put my fingerprint on there and punch in my number and all that. But I don't get there at 4:30. I'm not going to lie to you. Be like 4:32, 4:33, right? So I'm talking about time. You know, sometimes we struggle with time. But we shouldn't struggle with time, right? When we got to be somewhere, we should be somewhere. Amen? Struggling with time, okay? Okay, where am I right now? And so let's go to the next one. It said, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. It will not lie. Why will it not lie? Because in Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man and he should what? Lie. It will not lie. He cannot lie. So the vision, when he said that, it's going to happen. It's going to happen in time. But you, like I just said, you don't know the timing right now. I told you, you only see the frame, right? I give you another analogy. I know a lot of people do the puzzles, right? Big puzzles. I always didn't like those, the big puzzles. But all you see is pieces scramble all on the table, right? You see pieces. But God sees that puzzle done, a complete picture. I mean, we see the complete picture on the box, right? But you see, all you see is the pieces. But God is working things out for what? Our good, right? To those who love the Lord. Don't forget that part. Amen? To those who love the Lord. Amen. And so let's go to the next verse here. Though it tarries, wait for it. Because it will surely come and will not tarry. Right? He said, it will surely come and it will not tarry, right? So, in this scripture, it says, though it tarries, right? Though it tarries. But like I said before, God's timing is not our time. See, that was human perspective, right? Though it tarries, right? But it's not tarry. But it says, though it tarries. But that's our time. We're basing it off our time, our thing, right? We say, because it will surely come. What did he say? He didn't say it won't come. He said what? Surely. When he tells me surely, it will come. It will surely come. And then it says, it will not tarry. Because God is what? An on-time God. He said it will not tarry. He said at the end that I'm an on-time God. I had this vision at an appointed time. So it will not tarry, right? It will not be delayed, right? Amen? So let's go to Ecclesiastes. So God might be the divine delay that you're receiving right now. God might be doing it because it's not your season, right? It's not your season. It's not time for you to step up. Real quick, I know a lot of people have been in the Army. I was an E6, and I was 19th Delta Scout, you know, combat, and then I wanted to be the one in charge. I wanted to be the senior scout. But I had three E6s over me. They were old. Some old cats, right? Some old guys. But I was the youngest E6, but I wanted to be in charge. Do you know the senior scout, he had the pulse of the whole platoon. He took care of, you know, because a lot of times platoon sergeants not around. He had the pulse of the whole platoon. He cared about everybody. So I wanted to be the one. So you know what I did? I just waited till they PCS went somewhere else. One left. One went to Germany. One went to Korea. I said, it's my time. It's my time. So I got, I took over the, excuse me, I took over the lead scout. And so I was happy. I was walking around the hallway like this, you know. And then guess what happened? Another E6 came in. Old cat too, you know. He had no patches on his, you know. But he always had that coffee thing. And so he came to me. I was walking down the hallway. Can you take your stuff out of my vehicle? I was like, what? He said, I'm the lead scout now. But to tell you the truth, I wasn't really ready for that position. Because at that time, I didn't care about nobody in that platoon. I cared about myself. So I wanted to shine over everybody. You see what I'm saying? So sometimes it's not your season to be anointed to take on that position, right? It's the same way in the church. You know, you got, you know, some people want to be deacons, some people want to be ministers, you know. Some people go up to the pastor, hey, I want to be a minister, I want to be a deacon. But those positions are ordained by the Lord. And then the message is given to him, and then he executes. It's not like you could just pick whether you want to be a deaconess or, you know, minister or elder. I want to be an elder. You're a deacon. I want to be an elder. Well, you don't want to be a minister? No, I want to bypass that. I'm extra. I'm sharp. I know the word, right? So your season, sometimes you're not ready for it. So God delays, his divine delay. You're not ready for it, but you don't know that. But just like me, down the line, you'll say, oh, I see why. You were selfish. You can't be a lead scout. You don't care about anybody but yourself. You'll see it down the line, right? Amen? It might not be your season. Okay. What did I say? Go. Okay. I know that's what I said. Ecclesiastics, right? I think I'm going to start off with one. Write that down, okay. Ecclesiastics, third chapter. Ecclesiastics 3:1, right? Okay. And so this scripture is talking about different times in your life, the different seasons, right? There could be a season where you're supposed to be in charge. There could be a season where you get demoted because you wasn't ready. It could be painful, but God is working things out for what? For the good, right? For those who love the Lord. I want y'all to remember that scripture, all right? So it says here, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. It's a time to be born, time to die. We were just farmers, a time to plant. We already planted, right? And a time to pluck what is planted. Time to kill, time to heal, time to break down, and to build up. I like that one, break down and build up, because when I think about that, I think about, you know, the children, you know. As when they get in trouble and they do things wrong, we break them down, right? We might put them in time out. We might take this belt off and give them a couple of. But I just want you to remember, after that, you need to build them back up, right? Build them back up. Train up a child, right? The way he should go, right? You discipline him, right? Just like God does us. He chastens those who he what? Loves. And he loves us. And just like you love your children, you can break them down, but the most important part for me is to build them back up. Right? Through your words, through your conduct and your actions, right? That one just caught me and I just thought about it. A time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast out stones, and a time to gather, right? And so there's a lot of times here. Time to tear, and a time to sow. And this is a good one right here. A time to keep silent. Everybody likes to talk over everybody. But there's a time to listen, to be silent. There's a time to listen to the Lord, right? Be silent and listen. He don't want to hear your opinions. He just want to hear his word. He wants to hear his word reiterated back to him. That you know, right? Keep this word hidden in my heart, right? So I may not sin against you. Time to love, a time to hate, and a time of war. Okay. Let's skip down to 11. And in here it says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end, right? So God knows what's going on with you. He knows the end before the beginning, right? He knows what's going on in your life. He knows you're going through some things. And you're asking, Lord, where's my blessing at? Where is it at? He knows that. So he knows the end before the beginning. So we got to seek him, right? We sang that song, I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he what? Answered. Do you believe that in your heart? Amen. Okay, amen. So my brothers and sisters, you cannot rush the Almighty God. El Shaddai, all-knowing and all-powerful. You might want something right now, but you can't rush him. He's an on-time God. He's an on-time God, right? He loves you. You cannot rush God. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. You cannot rush him. Because what I'm saying, like I said, that it might not be your season, right? But when I think about what we did with the farmer exercise, right? He's preparing you, right? He's preparing you, right? He's developing you because you're not ready for that season, right? He's developing you, right? There's things going on there. Inside of you, day by day, he's developing, right? In you. So you're not ready for that season, right? Amen? You're not ready for that season. So God's delay is not his denial. It's not rejection. It's redirecting you to a greater path, right? It's redirecting you to a greater path, right? Sometimes we think, we could have failed a test in school, right? That ain't too good, right? That's not good. But when we study again, we pass it with an A+ because we studied hard. You know, when you go to school, you got to study. I just said about coming to church. It's like school. It's like training ground. So you have to study the word because each holy vessel that comes up here, they can't give you everything that's in this Bible, right? So you have to study to show yourself approved, right? Amen? Okay. So God often prepares us before he releases the promise. Because if God gives you something that your character can't handle, right? It could be destruction, right? It could be destruction. If we give people something that they're not ready for, they could destroy themselves with it. Right? I give you somebody passed away, and you give them the inheritance to your 16-year-old son, right? And he's not stable, right? He's still young. What is he going to do with that money? Load of money, right? Load of money. So God is preparing you. Let's take a look at Joseph. Let's go to Joseph, Genesis 37:50. Genesis 37. Go to the book of Joseph. Did I give you the wrong scripture? Yeah. All right, be patient with me. Scriptures going on in my head, okay? Amen. Genesis 50:20, all right? And so you can kind of back it up to I'm going to go over the story real quick, okay? But, amen. So Joseph had these dreams, right? Right? He had the dreams. And these dreams showed him greatness, right? It showed him promotion, right? He told these dreams to his brothers, and his brothers got jealous, and he did what? Threw him in the pit, right? They put him in the pit. And they sold him to slavery. Amen? They sold him to slavery. And so Joseph was also accused, right, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, right, of being with her, right? So I can imagine Joseph with his dreams of greatness saying, Lord, why am I here in this position? I'm supposed to be a man, a great man. My dreams show me that I was above a lot of people, right? I'm a great person, right? Amen? So sometimes we may feel that when you pray and it doesn't manifest itself in the natural, that there could be something wrong, right? I prayed and it doesn't manifest itself in the natural. But God's divine delay is occurring in your life, right? God was preparing Joseph, right? He was preparing him. He was preparing him in the pit. Well, how was he preparing him in the pit? He was maturing Joseph. His maturity, right? He was preparing him through slavery. Well, how was he doing that? God prepares us in different ways, amen? It may be painful, but he's preparing us, right? So, when I look at this, an example of this is, we're all the parents here, right? We're all parents? Okay. So, you have a 10-year-old child. Would you buy him a car and give him the keys? Would you buy it? no, right? And you want, and it's not because you don't love him. It's because he's not ready. Amen? So God was preparing Joseph, right, for much, much more, right? There's a lot of people that, you know, that I met, they said they want more kids. And I don't want to offend anyone. But you're not taking care of the kids that you got, probably, right? Sometimes we're not training up a child the way they should go, right? We're not taking care of the kids that we got. So why should God give you more, right? Amen? God is concerned, he is concerned with changing your circumstances, right, and your situation. But he's more concerned with changing you, your heart, your mind, through his word. That's what he's more concerned about. And once he changes you, your heart, and your mind, then you can pray over these circumstances, right? You can pray over them, right? Stand on his word boldly, right? And these circumstances, oh, man. In situations, you'll cast them down through the word of God. Amen? You'll cast them down through the word of God. You will cast them down. Amen? Okay, so let's go to John 11. And we're going to go through 1 and 39. So Joseph was being prepared. John 11, 1 to 39. But I want you to know, Joseph was being prepared. So Potiphar knew that the Lord was upon him. So what did Potiphar do? He gave him ownership of all his possessions, right? He gave him ownership of all the possessions in the palace. He gave him everything. So when somebody gives you something like that, you have to be mature. Think about it. If somebody gave you something back when you was young and you wasn't mature enough, it's not going to work out. It could be destruction, like I said before, destruction. Amen? Okay, John 11, 1 and 39, are you there? Amen. And so I'm going to read this real quick and go over it and try to get to it, all right? Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sister sent him, saying, Lord, behold, whom you love is sick. So they sent the message, right? They sent the message that, you know, Lazarus was sick, right? And so when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. See, and this scripture right here shows you that God seen the whole picture. You know, they were praying that, you know, God, Jesus, come on, fix this. I thought you said you loved us. Martha, Mary, Lazarus, right? I thought you said you loved us. So why wouldn't he do it, you know? And he said here, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he abode for 2 more days in a place where he was. So abode means stayed in a place. So why did Jesus, if he loved them, why did he move out right away? Why didn't he? I'm going to tell you why. But I'm going to give you a little background right here. So you got to understand in the first century in Jewish belief, they believed when someone died, The spirit leaves the body, right? Spirit leaves the body, and it stays in the atmosphere, right? It stays in the atmosphere. The spirit hovers, right? For 72 hours, 3 days, it has the ability to reconnect to that dead body and be resurrected. See, Jesus wanted to perform this miracle, right? But he had to wait longer than these 72 hours in these 3 days. Amen? He actually waited. By the time he got there, it was 4 days, 96 hours. So he wanted people to recognize and realize that this miracle, no one could take credit for. No one could take credit for. When this miracle is performed, no one could take credit for this miracle. So for the sake of time, Martha, you know, said if you would have been here, he wouldn't be dead, right? He wouldn't be dead already if you would have hurried up and got here, Lord. And so, verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was still sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died, okay? My brother would have not died. So Jesus is probably saying to himself, I love you, but you really don't know me, right? She talked about, Martha said to him, he said, your brother will rise again. He gave her the reassurance that your brother will rise again, right? And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again. The resurrection at the last day. Well, I just explained to you. The spirit hover. And she was talking about that. But Jesus was saying to himself, I need to reintroduce myself to you. He said, I am the resurrection. Right? In verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Right? And of course she said she did, and you know. So Martha for me was a little passive aggressive, right? I don't know if y'all know what that means. Passive aggressive, amen? And so for the sake of time, we're gonna skip back here. Jesus got into town. He said, where have you laid him? And so Jesus was so touched about the whole situation, it said Jesus wept, right? Jesus wept, amen? We see here that Jesus is praying, right? Father, I thank you have heard me, that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. God always hears our prayers, right? But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And so then he says, Lazarus, they moved a stone. Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. The miracle. So sometimes you see Martha and Mary, they pray for, they pray something smaller than God can do it. See, our God is exceedingly, he does exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think. Right? Our God does miracles, right? But like I said, Jesus, he abode, he stayed, so this miracle can take place, where people know who he is. He is the resurrection. Martha, she didn't know that. She didn't know he was the resurrection. Amen? That he was the resurrection. Amen? Hallelujah. Got 5 minutes left. Amen. So let us go to James 1, 2, and 4. James, first chapter, second and fourth verse. You say amen when you get there. Amen. So he says, this is James. He says, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Right? Count it all joy. Is it joyful going through the trials? No, it's not. It's not joyful, right? Sometimes it's not joyful. But what we do know that is joyful is that God gives us the victory over any situation, any circumstance, anything. Amen? We already have the victory. We got to claim it. We got to shout it. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The testing of your faith produces patience. Okay, I just want to do this disclaimer right quick. There's some people that say they don't have patience, but you do have patience. I'm letting you know today, you do have patience, right? It's a fruit of the Spirit. You're a believer. You do have patience, amen, right? And so the testing of your faith, when you go through those trials and tribulations, right, those testing, it produces patience, more and more patience, amen? And then it says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing, right? So as a believer, we're lacking nothing. But the scripture always say, if anybody lacking of anything, to ask of who? God. Ask of him. God has all the wisdom. God has all the power. He has all the authority. Ask of him. And God has given that to us as well. The power, dominion, and the authority. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, we have in ourselves. Amen? Give him a hand plug. Come on, come on. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I just want to say that it's good when, you know, it's easy to praise God when things are going good, isn't it? Right? It's easy to praise him when things are going good, when, you know, your kids on the honor roll, you're bragging about your kids. My kids on the honor roll, right? You know, my kids, I got to get a tutor for them. They struggling, right? My husband is the best husband I ever had. He goes to the grocery store with me and watch me look at all the spices and all that stuff like that. He goes to the shoe store and watch me put on all kind of shoes. When everything is going good, we can raise our hand and shout. Shout out loud, glory, hallelujah. Your football team is winning every week. I never experienced that. I never experienced that. But when your football team win, it make you feel good. I usually get like 2 or 3 wins, but when I wake up the next day, I feel good. Right? So everything's going good in your life. Money's coming in. You know, you might got promoted. CEO, right? You might went from E6 to E7. That's a couple of dollars, right? So everything's going good in your life, right? Amen? But what about when you receive those divine delays? What about when you receive those divine delays? And things ain't going too good, right? What do we do? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to praise him anyway. Praise him anyway. Praise, do it. Right? We know God has the victory up already. Amen? And so, you know, I said that to say this, that we sing songs and we sing hymns and we sing everything. We sing praise is what I do, right? Even when I'm going through, I solemnly vow to praise him in good and bad. That's what the song says. These are the songs that we sing, right? I will bless the Lord at all times, right? His praise shall be continually in me. I'm just reminding you what we sing. So if we sing that, we got to believe that. We have to believe it. Because people might not know, but these are scriptures that we're singing. Scriptures that we are singing. So God, divine delays, they also protect us, right? Because he loves us. A little tight on time, so scriptures out the window, but he loves us. You know, think about you are in a house and you're rushing and you can't find your wallet, right, man? Or you can't find your Gucci bag, ladies, right? And then you finally find it in 15 minutes of your time, right? And then you go around the corner and you see that accident. And that was the same lane you usually ride down and the same path you usually take. God protected you, right? His delay of you finding your wallet in your pocketbook, he protected you, amen? So God loves you and he protects you. Amen? Amen. And so, amen, amen. So, when we're waiting on God, right, with intense expectation, we're trusting in him, right? Trusting God, right? And not leaning on your own understanding. We're fasting, we're praying. This is why we're waiting, right? This ain't like the DMV where you take a number, you just sit there. This is actively waiting, right? We continue to be sober and vigilant, like Habakkuk, right? We continue studying the word day and night, right? Day and night. And we continue to seek God in everything we do. Not just some things, but everything we do. Amen? Amen. And then last thing, God delays sometime because he don't want you to take some things into the next season. Bitterness, unforgiveness. He might not take you there because you still got those things going on in you. So he might not take you to the next season. Amen? Amen. So, in closing, Lazarus came out of the grave. The delay did not stop the miracle. It just multiplied it, right? People seen, oh, look at Jesus. And that's what he wanted. He didn't want anybody to take credit for some of the last miracles he did, right? When God is taking his time, it's because his plan is bigger than your prayer or my prayer, right? When he's taking his time, amen? All right. God is not late. God is not silent. He's not ignoring you. He's working, planning, preparing, and aligning you for your next season. Amen? Amen. Divine delays. So what I would say to you is continue to keep praying, to keep trusting, to keep believing and keep serving and to keep worshiping. That you would stand sober and vigilant. That you would go boldly to the throne in any circumstance in your life, any divine delay that you're experiencing right now, Lord, that you would speak to it in Jesus' mighty name. That God loves you so much that he sent his son, his only begotten son, to die for our sins. To continue praying, continue fasting. That God, you have to believe that God has a plan for you. He says in Jeremiah 29:11, right? He has a plan to prosper you, right? To give you hope and a future. That our God cares about us. Anybody experiencing any divine delay right now? The altar is open right now in Jesus' name. Anything that's on your mind that, excuse me, stand to your feet. Anything that you're struggling with right now, any stronghold, God wants to free you from it through his word. He said we're purified through his word. He says that we have the victory in Christ Jesus. Lord, that we're successful in anything that we do. You have to believe that. That God is working in you, through you, and for you. Just come to the altar. Just come.